Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Christine Vinatieri Erickson, president for South Dakota Auto Dealer and South Dakota Truckers Association. Today, I have the privilege of having our Attorney General of South Dakota, Marty Jackley, here today. Not only my friend, but also a great advocate for our state. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. It's always fun having people that have a lot of influence in our state and that are doing really good things for our state. So we know you've been busy, and we just want to take a few moments to introduce you to our members as well as any of our listeners. I always like to start out with, why AG? What got you in the bug of being the AG? I know you're a South Dakota kid, West River. Yes, me too. And went to college out there as well. But how did you get involved in this crazy business?
My interest in the AG's office probably began in 1986 when my dad ran against Roger Tellenhusen for the position of Attorney General. Mm-hmm. And I got introduced to it. And then later in life, I got to see the good stuff that the AG gets to do, really being the people's lawyer and working with good, like-minded people in public service, doing good work. And so I had a wonderful opportunity to serve as AG for about a dozen years, and then some mm-hmm. circumstances came up and brought me back home again.
Yeah, great. And now you've been in this role. Remind everybody how long you've been in this role and how long do you have left of your term?
So I've been in about almost 2 years, mm-hmm. and I'll have 2 years left and then have to make a decision, and I'm eligible to run again if I choose to, or could go back to private practice or be a state's attorney or other opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. We always know there's other opportunities. Sometimes we get in this role and can't wait to further our aspirations as far as doing good things for the people of South Dakota, and you've certainly done that. So let's talk a little bit about how we relate to South Dakota trucking, South Dakota auto dealers. Why should our members care about what the Attorney General's up to?
A couple reasons. One is our consumer division. Mm-hmm. In South Dakota, the Attorney General has a consumer division which has about 7 investigators and 2 attorneys and an in-tank person. And oftentimes our paths cross because an auto dealer or a trucker might have a client that is concerned about something, mm-hmm. and they may come to us. And what I can honestly say is every time that happens and we get your customer back in touch with you, mm-hmm. It goes away, which is a good thing, which means right. you've satisfied. Oftentimes it's just a communication issue, yeah. or maybe even the auto dealer didn't know about the issue. And I just appreciate that, because in talking to other attorney generals, it isn't always that case. We've always had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other is recently a lot of federal overreach where the attorney yeah. general is – always protecting the state, mm-hmm. and we're seeing from the EPA to a federal highway safety issues where they're trying to take over things and make it more challenging for mm-hmm. auto dealers and truckers. You know, certainly most recently it's been with the CO2 mm-hmm. stuff, and we're even seeing it with electronic vehicles that, as we all know, maybe have a place in some places, but not necessarily in South Dakota to do away with the combustion engine.
Right, right. And we are seeing some of our neighboring states trying to kind of infiltrate and influence other states. And, you know, we've held pretty strong here in South Dakota, and I don't see that changing at all. So when we talk about the zero emissions, you know, there's some hefty, hefty fines that go along with that. And we know that you've signed on with several other attorney generals raising suit with that, saying, hey, we need to protect our small businesses, and it's really about consumer choice. It really is.
It is, and we all know that some of the issues that the federal government's trying to push upon us are unfunded mandates that mm-hmm. just won't work. And our state is required to have a balanced budget. You know from your days in the legislature yep. and leadership, that's not always an easy task. And when you compound it with additional requirements and we push that off on auto dealers, truckers, and the constituency, it just a recipe for disaster.
It is. And I know there's even some concerns here locally with Minnesota most recently adapting the CARB rules. You know, most of the things that come out of California and South Dakota
are a bad idea.
In South Dakota, you don't ever use California as an example if you want something passed. It's like, well, this came from California. Okay, we don't want it here then,
right.
generally speaking. And, you know, our neighboring state, Minnesota, just adopted the CARB rules. And, you know, we have some great concerns here with some of our dealerships that do, you know, transfer cars and from dealership to dealership, and how that's going to even impact our state, even though we don't have those rules it still will impact us to be able to transfer some of those cars from dealership to dealership. And it's really a trickle-down effect and very problematic in a lot of ways. And, you know, at the end of the day, the consumer should be able to choose what kind of car you want. I have a hard time thinking of the guy or gal that has a big truck that's hauling a camper or a boat or a horse trailer behind it, getting very far in South Dakota.
Right.
Just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and the reality is we don't have a lot of, like, on the electronic vehicle issue, we don't have a lot of those stations to charge. And right. Especially given our weather circumstances, and you get out in the Black Hills and other remote areas, mm-hmm. It could be a huge challenge. It could become a public safety issue in addition to a consumer issue.
Yeah, especially when you factor in our weather. You know, out in D.C., it was, I think, a year and a half ago when they had weather. It was the truckers that had water and their diesel trucks fired up, and the people that were in the EVs were staying warm because of the truckers out mm-hmm. there. So it certainly has a place, and we want people to be able to choose that. They're great commuter vehicles, and, you know, if the consumer wants it, I know my guys and gals will sell whatever they want. So I do want to go back to the DCAP program that we just talked about and our relationship with the consumer. I believe it's Jody in your office is fantastic. She's very passionate, very great to work with for our people. And, you know, as I travel to other states, this may get you in a little trouble with your other attorney generals in other states. Like you said, not all states have that program that we have, that we're able to make it go away, not go away, but we're able to solve and settle it before it's escalated beyond massive law fees and legal fees. And I know some of my counterparts in other states are certainly interested in what we're doing here and how we're able to do that. And a lot of that goes because of your staff and the relationships that we've been able to have together.
Well, we appreciate and are happy about it because at the end of the day, your customers are typically very happy mm-hmm. after they engage in that. And you get future business with them, and that's what we want to see in our consumer division. We want the consumer happy,
yeah.
And we're pro-business, and so this just makes perfect sense. And I can honestly say I don't know of an instance when it hasn't worked to yeah. some degree.
Yeah, and we want that customer to be happy as well with that process. So that's great. Let's talk a little bit, you know, I think the first time I met you, I was a freshman legislator in judiciary and you had your package of bills in front of us and coming in front of us. Now I'm on the other side wearing that the lobbyist hat instead of legislator, but you're still in peer. You're still bringing your packages. Anything big or noteworthy or anything you want to discuss about potential legislative changes coming up this year?
One of the issues that we're very interested in is AI, that mm-hmm. is artificial intelligence. We brought a bill last year that was successful that dealt with child porn, and it was mm-hmm. it was an easy thing to jump onto and support because it was protecting children, the deep fakes, which are those situations when you literally steal either the video or the face of a child off a Facebook post and put it into pornography. That was easy. We're going to have to make some harder decisions mm-hmm. to protect business, but yet protect the public when it comes to AI.
Right.
Age verification is another issue that I feel needs to pass. Mm-hmm. The question is to what degree. I think it needs to be a little bit more than just if you're going to go on a illicit website or something, getting the "Are you 18? Yes or no?" I think there needs to be a little bit more to it, mm-hmm. but we also have to be mindful we can't bog down business, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that we are not collecting personal financial type information, whether it's social security numbers, driver's license IDs, that are subject to data breaches. So it's going to be a challenge to get that written. I know there's subcommittees meeting on it now. We're participating in it, but I think that'll be important issues out of session. There are also – South Dakotans are going to vote on 7 pretty important issues.
Right.
And depending upon how those results come in, the legislature might be busy adding to them, clarifying. And so it should be a busy session.
Yeah, yeah. And those 7 issues are so important. There's very – we're not going to get into those issues today, but very passionate people on both sides. And I know we're looking at, as an associations, just publishing what are you voting on? What does a yes vote mean? What does a no vote mean on? And it's important for us to educate our members and how this could potentially impact their business through that process. But it seems that these are getting more and more common, more and more popular, which I love the process of democracy and being able to do that. But it always seems like there's some cleanup on one way or another with any issue. And we've seen that with the marijuana and the impacts with that. There has to be a framework put in place. And so that will be interesting to come out. And I'm sure we'll keep our legislators very busy and you very busy as well, because many of these issues do impact you.
They do. I miss your days on judiciary. You know, the Attorney General has a strong relationship with state affairs and judiciary. That's typically what we're in front of.
Yep.
Every once in a while, there'll be a different committee, you know, transportation that we'll be in front of if we're bringing some type of consumer bill. And we typically won't do that. And we always appreciate it when we do bring those type of bills, the auto dealers and truckers being a part of the subcommittees or the discussion about making sure we don't have unintended consequences.
Right.
My goal is always to try to shop that legislation around to the entities it affects so they can have a voice for their membership.
Mm-hmm.
But judiciary has always been the place that we spend most of our time.
Yep, lucky
and,
you.
And we get to know each other fairly well.
Yes, you do. It's a very busy committee, that's for sure. You know, as you were touching on a few different topics, one of the things just recently on the news, we just wrapped up the Sturgis rally out west. There always seems like there's an influx when you have the congregation of large groups of people. We see an uptick in prostitution, human trafficking, some extra not good crimes, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And that's a passion of ours on South Dakota Trucking, is that Truckers Against Trafficking and how we could partner together with your office potentially in the future. But the work that you guys are doing and the stings that you are doing are hopefully a deterrent for other folks. Did you see an uptick? Did you see, or are you seeing it plateau? Or what are you seeing in that realm? And how could we assist in any way?
You assist by putting the message out and the word out that you do very well at, and we appreciate that, and we want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
We run these operations ever since I became Attorney General. I would suggest that the numbers are low enough to not go by, you know, percentages necessarily.
Right.
For instance, we run a sting, which we essentially put an ad out. We solicit people to come meet us or try to do harm to children, where instead of meeting a child, they're meeting a police officer.
Right.
And the number last year was 5 arrests. The number this year was 7. So there is an uptick.
Mm-hmm.
The concerning part of that is, though, they were not from out of state. All 7 arrests were from local area, which is telling that maybe there needs to be more preventative measures taken.
Education.
Yep. And perhaps a few more of these proactive task force runs to see if there are folks out there lurking to do harm to children and get that taken care of.
Right, right. Yeah. I saw the story, and 7 seems fairly low. I mean, 1 is too many.
Sure.
It is. But, you know, when you have that many people together, but what it doesn't capture is that's your one sting, and how many other times is it happening? You know, you're not the only one. And so it's, if you can get 7 bad guys or gals off the street, that's success for us, and grateful for the work that you're doing for that. And so we certainly would love to partner in whatever we can do to get the message out and get folks really educated on see something, say something, you know, those gas stations and where the truckers are maybe filling up or taking a rest. They certainly see some interesting stuff.
Well, you said it exactly right. See something, say something. It's a force multiplier. If truckers are out there and they see something suspicious, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can save a child or better protect children.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we appreciate that. One other topic, I know we're kind of bouncing all around, cybersecurity. You know, we saw probably one of the biggest breaches most recently with the CDK ransom. You know, we reported it to you guys right away. And so luckily, there wasn't too terribly much on your end. We didn't have you guys having to step up and do. But we're probably, in my mind, we're seeing more and more of that happen, whether it's in Las Vegas with the casinos or the CDK one was really problematic. And how do we identify those, or how can we communicate or educate our watchers and our members as far as business, personal, any of that. Any tips for our people?
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate you personally reached out to me when that happened. And that's about relationships and trust.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Well, it was kind of an oh crap moment, oh my gosh, this is bad.
And you guys did exactly what you needed to do. And, you know, the tips are just be mindful that this information can be subject to being taken and put in as many protective measures as possible, but it's going to happen. I mean, we've had law enforcement agencies in the state that have been breached and they've gained information from sometimes federal authorities that you would think would have protective measures in place, and they oftentimes don't. So just be vigilant to, you know, keep software updated. The state has done a couple of things on the government level that I think are very positive with DSU, which is, of course, state-of-the-art college, and being able to work on the cyber issue. And that's all positive. The Attorney General is working on getting that money out to counties to better protect for those breaches. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, you know, one of the reasons we're really worried about whatever we put in place on age verification, you're really gathering somebody's personal information to determine whether or not they are 18 or older, and that information is subject to breach.
Right.
Much like your organization has to keep together some level of data, and there's always people trying to take it and sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, the bad guys, if they just invested their time in something good, wow, you know, you just think, what could we get done? But unfortunately, there's always going to be a level of sophistication with some of those folks that do the bad stuff. So,
and we've invested. From a state standpoint, I was given permission from the legislature to turn 5 agents into digital agents.
Oh, wow.
So we're not just the – sometimes you perceive us as the guns that are going to break down the door and issue an arrest and a search warrant. We do that.
Yes, you
when
do.
When we need to.
Right.
But we also have some sophistication, not just with the forensic science side of evidence, but the digital side. So we have 5 new agents coming on board that will be well-trained, well-equipped to be able to better protect businesses and to react when there is a breach and the bad guys are out there. Unfortunately, oftentimes those bad guys are out of country. If they're in country, we have a good relationship with other AG offices and we can typically get them.
Right.
But when they're from India, the U.S. attorney might have an opportunity depending upon what happens. But for the most part, they're going to get by with it.
Yeah, yeah, which is tough. Well, I know some of my colleagues in other states have bumped into you at meetings, and I always love the selfies and the pictures that I get.
We'll keep them coming.
I do. I love it. They're like, I'm hanging with your AG. And I'm like, I love that South Dakota has such a positive impact, really, throughout others. You know, not everywhere does that exist, but I think in South Dakota, we're different, we're relational, we shake a hand, we give a hug, whatever it is. And so I know you've been very welcoming to a lot of my colleagues in other areas and national associations that have relied on your assistance as well, just as you do band together in so many other states, which is important.
Yeah, the AG community, because there's only 50 of us, you rarely will ever hear us speak ill of another. I mean, we have big divides on social issues.
Right.
Minnesota, Keith and I don't see eye to eye on some of those social issues, but you're not going to hear me say anything bad about him. But we're a close group, and part of that allows us, if there is, say, a consumer issue in Minnesota, I'm pretty comfortable I can make one phone call and get it taken care of.
Right.
And you don't necessarily see that in other places in government.
Yep.
And that's something that the attorney generals have prided themselves in. I finished being chairman of the AGA for the last couple years, and believe me, if an AG speaks ill of another, they get a couple phone calls.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah,
it's a brotherhood, so to speak,
and sisterhood. We're getting more and more female attorney generals, which have been great. I just right before we came in here, I was communicating with Louisiana's attorney general.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's in a challenging position because her governor was the attorney general. I think sometimes he thinks he still is.
Yes, it's hard to close the door and move on to another thing when you may think you know how to do it better.
Yeah, and he's a close friend. I got to see him together the other day, which is always fun to see.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Well, on a personal note, I did see you just took your daughter to college.
I did. I'm an empty nester.
You are an empty nester. How's dad doing? I mean, tears or everything okay?
I'm good. I'm a School of Mines kid, and having my son be a SDSU engineering student and and then taking my daughter. I mean, it's a little challenging, but you know, everybody goes through it. You know what it's like.
I know. And I'm one in school.
It's good.
I'm
at peace. SDSU is a great school.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to coming and visiting them.
And
this job will keep me busy enough that I probably won't be a bored empty nester.
I'm sure. Well, we see you traveling all over the state and sometimes all over the country for the better of South Dakota. And so we certainly thank you for your service to the whole state, but also for being an advocate for the small business that are the backbones of many of these communities, but also holding people accountable. I think that's an important balance of being supportive yet holding people accountable. And it's a tough balance at times, but I think that you do it with grace and respect. So thank you for everything that you've done. We'll wrap up today just by saying thanks for being here. We will welcome you back anytime, or if there's anything that we can do to partner together for the good of South Dakota, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Absolutely. And thank you again, the auto dealers and truckers, for making the consumer side of my job easy. And we appreciate all that you guys do for us.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thanks for listening to the Driveline Podcast. You can catch us on YouTube, Spotify, and any of the other listening devices that you see. Please feel free to check out our other podcasts that we've had with other exciting guests, and stay tuned for more.